All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Morning.
We're having one of those.
Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hopefully nobody saw that. Okay. Lise is my partner over at Queen Bee. For those of you who don't know, she's a certified life coach, certified narcissistic abuse recovery coach, expert in so many different things. If you don't already know her, you're going to love her. And if you already do know her, I bet you already love her. All right. So, right?
Why not?
So today we are here to talk about, oh, wait a minute. Before I say that, let me get a little housekeeping out of the way. Nobody's here. A few people are here. Yeah. Hey, everybody. So we do this stream every Tuesday right around 12:30 p.m. Central Time. This is the stream that you normally see me doing in the recent past with Dana Morningstar. She's away, for those of you who are asking. She will be back when she comes back, and we will be happy to see her. And at that time, Lisa and I will move over to Fridays. But until then, you get to see her beautiful face here with me. Aren't you excited? Anyway, as soon as our admin team gets here, our moderator team gets here, they will modify their check. Okay. They will share with you how to keep up with us. And hello, everybody. We're just going to jump right into our topic. Okay. So today we're going to talk about toxic relationships when you are not the main source of narcissistic supply. So Lise, start us off. Let me just throw her under the bus.
We talk a lot about when you are the main person, the main supply in the narcissist's life, but there's so many other relationships you can have where you're not the main source of supply, and it can be a little different and a little confusing and a little like we wonder how people don't know that they're dealing with a narcissist. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's because they're not the main supply. So it can be things like a friend, a sibling, even and that's something that I know people want to talk about here is the family, you know, siblings, aunts and uncles, grandmothers, when it's not your like parent, right?
Yeah.
What else? An ex, when they're hoovering you and they have no supply already and you are now the peripheral supply, a boss, a coworker, anything like that. So there's the start. Where do we want to go with that?
Yeah. And I missed this other one. That would have been a good one. Next week we'll do the toxic structure. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's what we're talking about. Oh, there's Chris. Hey, everybody. All right. So yeah, it can be an ex. It can be a brother, a sister, a best friend. I've personally dealt with toxic friends in my lifetime, narcissistic friends. In fact, I'll tell you a story about one real quick. I had this friend when I first became a single mom after I left my narcissistic ex. And she was also a single mom. I met her at work. We had kids right around the same age. And she was, we were around the same. She might've been a few years older than me, but we were in the same vicinity. She was within 5 years of my age. Well, her person was in prison and I was divorced. And so we kind of, you know, became friends because of that. And at first it was great because I thought, okay, well, friend, somebody, play dates, all the whole thing, right? Well, within, I don't know, a few months of us hanging out together, we had lunch together every day at work. And then at one point I moved to a new department and then the new department was like, come have lunch with us. I was like, okay. So I invited her to come with. She came with once and she felt, I guess, like she didn't get enough attention. During this time, I was hearing so much, she had so many negative things to say about everything, not just her own life, but the people we worked with. She gossiped and talked about them. It was ugly. And I just became overwhelmed with negativity. And then she was starting to sort of take over my energy, right? Mm-hmm. Like she would walk into the room and I would feel it physically almost. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
It was so much negativity. And I was like, I can't even breathe at some point. And I thought, well, maybe if we could just start sitting with this other group of people, they were more positive, more happy, then she would be lighten up a little bit, you know, because whatever. Well, anyway, long story short, she ended up basically dumping me because I said I wanted to also sit with these other people, but it was this whole process and it was ugly. It was almost like breaking up with a partner. It was like real deep and serious. I'm understating what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What I'm hearing is it's like, and what I have felt myself from it, is these peripheral people who should have casual to maybe a little bit of connection, but more of a casual relationship with you in your life. They should not have the power to have that much pull on your energy. They should not have the, do you know what I'm saying? They should be like every other relationship doesn't cause this problem. Mm-hmm. But right. somehow these people can draw you in so fast and so deeply when you're not even really in their life.
Right.
And then affect everything about the way you feel about everything.
Right. Exactly. Yourself included.
And then it's really hard to get away from them.
Indeed. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And if, I don't know if Tanya's talking about my person or not, but she says, yeah, she was miserable herself. And that's the truth about that person.
They make you feel miserable and you're not even in a relationship with them. And you feel the like obligation of a relationship when you're not actually, and that happens with family members too. Like you can maybe mm-hmm. have a sister or a cousin or whatever, and you feel this deep obligation toward whatever it is you're dealing with them.
Yes.
And it is over the top when it's not normal, so to speak.
That's right. Yeah. And then there are the times when your family, like for example, you know, my story about my mother and how mm-hmm. her drama, some of the guys here know the story as well. And that was, you know, she called CPS on my husband and myself because she was mad at me, not because I was doing anything wrong. And luckily CPS was able to recognize it right away. But the thing that shocked me was that she actually brought my brother, who I thought I had a good relationship with, in as a flying monkey.
Oh my gosh.
And he was involved with it because she told him a bunch of lies, and I still can't even stand to look at it. I still don't talk to either one of them. You know what I mean? So, because you can't mess with a person's family and children and whatnot.
Well, that's it. Like you can't, it's almost like you're obliged to go no contact to protect yourself, even with siblings.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
When you can't, you got to keep it so, so impersonal. And not like that.
1 second. Okay.
Got the phone ringing.
Sorry, somebody's phone was sitting there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just
right.
Following through.
Right. You have to kind of, yeah.
You have to break it off. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Really quickly, I need to touch on this. She Wolf sent us a super chat. Thank you, She Wolf. I don't see a question there. Wait, here it goes. Wait. Oh, I have a comment from her. She says, gray rocking works so well. Yes, it is. If you cannot go fully no contact, gray rock is your next best thing. Yep. Please talk about gray rock. Tell us what it is.
Gray rock is basically not engaging with the narcissist's antics, manipulations, any of it. Just need to know info only, plain, boring, blah.
Yeah, gray rock. And it's really, you know, it's about like, for example, Lisa, insult me. Come on. Tell me how, tell me anything about this.
I don't know what is the matter with you, Angie. I'm a really bad narcissist player here. Let me.
I know. We're like, how do we do that?
Well, you know, I was late today, but that's because you didn't text me. You do this all the time, right? Yeah.
That's probably true.
Well, are you stupid? Oh my gosh, it's so hard to do that.
Possible. We're laughing. But really what you
I don't do that well. So.
You can either completely like, it's interesting that you say that. Mm-hmm. Or what I like to do is go like this. Yeah, I'm a little stupid. It shocks them. Shocks them. Especially because I know I'm smart. Anyway.
Yeah. Or
but really though. Yeah.
Like with a narcissistic mother in particular, because they like to dig and delve into your business and they like to gossip and they like to tell everyone what to do and be in control of everything. I like to give them things to be in control of if I have to talk to them. And
ding,
say,
ding. Tell us more about that.
Oh, so you be the mom. I'll do it. I'll try it.
Okay. Okay. What are you doing with your hair right now?
Oh, I know, right? Oh my gosh. Did you see the hair thing that was on the Facebook ad today? Oh, let me send it to you. Hang on. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so what happened yesterday? I thought you went to the place and yeah.
Good. That's back really good.
Back to you, Mom. Back to you, Mom. Okay. Anyway, I got to go. Love you. Bye. Click. You know.
See how she did that? That's really good, Lise. Really good example. Yes.
Not engaging with her attacks.
Yeah. And then do you see how she kind of just rolled over it? And it's hard.
Oh yeah.
Especially when it's a mother or a spouse, but anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get a little overwhelmed by some of that sometimes, but when you go that way and you just kind of You have to remember that what they're saying is nothing to do with your damn hair or anything else. Mm-hmm. It has to do with their own insecure stuff, right? Yep. Their mm-hmm. own issues. And so when you look at it from that perspective and you see it for what it is, you can do exactly what Lisa just did and kind of blow it off.
You blow it off and roll it all back into something they're interested in and throw them something to complain, yeah, to talk about, whatever.
Yeah. Because I was trying to demonstrate in that moment that she said what she said is what you said, Lisa, is I was trying to demonstrate a little bit of surprise in that moment. Like, I'm not very good at acting, but you know, but that's what a mother, she would be like, wait, what? Oh, well, let me look at it. You know what I mean? And the way that Lisa carried on with it, that was a great example, Lisa. Good job. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, having done it enough.
Yeah, she's used to that. I did a little, I tended to be more boring and flat. So
that too. Yeah, that's the, it just depends on, like, it's gray rock can look so many ways. The
point, right.
You feel yourself engaging with the moment you hear yourself engaging, you're no longer gray rocking.
That's right. Yeah. And I really pissed off a lot of narcissists, part of my language, by doing the like, All right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even there, you know, and I've had them yell at me for that. You don't even seem like you're there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's
really makes them mad. It's fine. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to add about gray rock?
Yeah. The what?
Do you have anything else you want to add about gray rock?
Know that what you're doing is not silencing yourself. You're not having to withhold your own emotions and feelings. You're protecting yourself from having your true emotions and feelings be attacked further and further, gaslighted, making you confused and all of that. It's not, people really worry that they won't get to say their piece or they feel like they shouldn't have to be quiet. They shouldn't have to shut down. You're right. You shouldn't. But you're dealing with a toxic person. So you
can't,
that's the only way to stay safe.
Right. Yes.
That's it.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. So we have, do we want to jump into the questions right now or do we want to wait a minute? Do we have anything else we need to throw in here?
With what?
I mean, wait a minute. We have something, another, hold on.
Okay.
Seawolf, thank you for the other super chat. She says, gaslighting information was such an eye-opener. Thank you. I'm so glad that was helpful. So that's the thing that you end up with. We need to, You end up having to gray rock or go no contact if you're going to stay sane in the mm-hmm. situation with anyone who you're dealing with in that case. If you're not the main source of supply for that person, yeah. You could possibly either just remove yourself. This low contact you can consider as well, right? But if you're not the main source and you really can't go no contact, you really should maybe rethink it a little bit too, because I guess if it's a family member, it's harder, but you can always go no contact with anyone as long as you're an adult based on bills, right?
Yep.
So, okay. I'm gonna jump in the chat unless you have anything else you wanna add.
No, just one thing is that when you become the not main source, when you were the main source and you no longer are, so basically you're being hoovered, you pretty much know they have new supply. They do this, they'll get new supply, they'll be with someone else, and then they'll hoover you at the same time.
Right.
You are no longer the main supply. They have someone else doing their main supply business. You're now on the side. You have to remember that they are going to treat you differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be more superficial. It's going to be more often very love bomby and then devaluing really fast. I mean, it's they act differently. How do they act differently? Let me think.
They might be nicer to you. They might be slicker with their manipulation.
Or quicker to give up.
Yeah.
Like if it doesn't work, let me throw all my love bombing at you. If it doesn't work in 3 seconds, F you. And
right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we have a question from Erzbet. I'm sorry if I said it wrong. I know I say it wrong all the time. She says, my mom has the ability to make me angry and confused and stop me to do what I want to do, stop me from doing what I want to do that day. Yes, that is absolutely the gift of your mother. And I'll tell you why. Because your mother installed those buttons. Okay, she gave you the trauma that caused her that caused you to have that, whatever she's doing. And so if you really take a deep breath, I don't know how old you are. And so I'm not sure if you're like still living at home. I think you're not, but I think, you know, but if you're an adult and you're out on your own and you choose not to go no contact for whatever reason, then work on your gray rock. And so it's going to be hard at first because she might actually do what some people do to me and be like, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that? Something wrong with you, you know, and then poke you in a different way. But just hold out, keep gray rocking, and she'll eventually be confused. And try Lisa's technique, the one that we just demonstrated a little while ago, because that is really smart, where you just kind of start to change the subject quickly. Mm-hmm. Get good at that. That can help. Any advice for her, Lisa?
Yeah, it's dismissal. You dismiss there. You just don't engage. You have to stop engaging in the attacks.
Mm-hmm. And don't take it personal.
Not personal. It feels personal, and it definitely is. She's trying to make it personal, but it's her problem, not your problem. And if you engage it, she wants you to engage in it. She wants those buttons to be pushed so that there is drama and so that she gains the supply from it. So don't give her what she wants. Stop. Watch the behavior instead of interacting with it. So just watch it and be like, oh, here she goes again. Almost like you're watching a character in a movie. You got to watch that you don't disassociate so much that you feel like a character in a movie. But
that's legit.
You know, but watching it, like if it's like you would anyone, if you saw someone acting crazy, you'd be like, whoa, what's up with them today?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of watch it. You don't have to be, entangled in it. And it's hard. It's hard because you're right. She installed those buttons and you have a natural, I mean, it's your mom, right?
It's rough. It's rough. Yeah.
It is.
But it's worth the effort.
It is worth the effort. Changing the subject. Have a list of subjects. That's another suggestion. So that, when I talk to mom, these are the things I'm going to change the topic to.
Really?
You know the things she likes to gossip about. You know the things that interest her. You know where mm-hmm. she... If she's, I'm thinking of a couple right now that we have to keep around that mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly. All I have to do is say three words and they will, and on that topic, off me.
Yeah, that's really smart. It's really smart, really good. And I think that's important. Okay, we have a super chat from Nathan Smith who says, I graduate college in a year. I have 1 year left with my narcissist mother until I move.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go no contact, but I don't know if I have the heart.
Mm.
I get it. It's hard. And I'm going to be really honest with you. For me to go no contact with my narcissist parents, she literally had to try to destroy my life by taking my children. You understand? So she didn't take my children, but she tried to. And so the point is that it's not easy. Lisa, are you no contact?
With a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about your mother?
My mother's not a narcissist.
Oh, good. Okay. So, okay.
There's other family members.
Okay. So you have gone. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you went no contact. How did you manage? Tell me what were the.
I think you can go. It doesn't have to be a narcissist. This is a thing. Anyone that's in your life that is
toxic.
Toxic, or that is really like you've tried to work it out and it's not going to work out and it's not healthy for you to continue to engage. It's healthier for both parties to disengage and be no contact. That's where I find the heart. It's not about like, dislike, love, don't love. It's about what is healthy for both people.
That's right.
Or yourself. And often for yourself, most importantly, but also it isn't healthy for them to be in this enabling relationship where they get to abuse and manipulate and and then not having the heart. I think it is some people have to do it a little different. Some people can't go, they just can't do it, and so they'll go so low contact that the only thing they do is send birthday card and one call a year, something like that, like such strict boundaries. And then, and you know what? It's okay to feel guilty.
That's right.
It's That's unfortunate right. that we have to, but it is okay to feel guilty for doing something that is for literally your own health and well-being.
Yes.
You have a cat. Yes.
I'm not laughing at what you're saying.
You're having a cat. Yes.
Tiptoeing through. Go ahead.
Anyway, that's it. Yeah.
It's Sorry about that. I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at my sister tiptoeing through my dining room because she was here to help me with some things today. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. So Tanya says, real talk. My mom used to say misery loves company. Truth, 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 truth. Yes.
She would know, right?
Right. Right. Yes. Okay. Let's see here. We have, I'm looking, thank you, She-Wolf. You're so sweet. Okay. We're moving on. We're moving on. Here we go. We have all of these. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read the comments and talk at the same time. I don't understand why we're. Okay. Let's see. So we have Bonnie. Hey, Bonnie. Welcome back. Our Mod Squad member. She says, engaging with narcissists is always a no-win situation. Ding, ding. Yes. Oh, Tanya adds her tip for Gray Rocking. She says, avoid or make an excuse why you have to leave. Absolutely. If at all possible. And Bonnie's real excited about our role playing. She said role praying, which I think is funny, but she meant role playing, I think. Okay.
Was that very exciting? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's funny, you know, when I try and do that, I actually have like a bit of an amnesia of what it's like. Like when I can describe situations, but when I try and play act it, it's like I get blank.
Yeah. I'm not a good actor. But in real life, I can do it.
So disassociated from how bad it
is. Yeah. And it can be bad. I mean, you know, we still have to deal like with various toxic people here and there, but most of the people that I was close to that I was toxic with or that was, you know, were toxic for me, I have very few people in my inner circle. It's very small, as you know.
Me too. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Quality over quantity, I always say. Right. You know, okay, we have Tanya. Wait, oh no, that's not. Okay, wait a minute. Left curve. I'm just trying to see if throw the narc a bone, sis.
That's right.
Okay, that's actually a very valid point.
Exactly. You throw them a bone so that they can go chase it. And
yes,
then you're not the bone. Yeah.
Yeah, because they will hold on to some bone.
Oh, yeah.
Give them one that's not about you.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when we're dealing with people on the periphery, it's important to not engage. I think the Gray Rock is the kind of the moral of the story for this.
Absolutely.
Particular.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And She-Rock defines it. I'm sorry. She-Wolf. I'm trying to. She-Wolf says Gray Rocking equals not giving power.
Yep.
That's the truth. Taking the power.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Very good.
We shouldn't need to have power. That's the problem. We should just be able to have a conversation without power dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Oh, LNC. Hey, girl. Hey. She says, stop my. She's one of my channel members. All right. Let's see. Bonnie says, I swam with a family full of narc sharks. Oh my gosh. I like that name. Ugh. Narc sharks. She said, just exhausting. Now I'm purging the toxic ones. Life is better. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you, Bonnie. I've known Bonnie for a minute. She was in one of my groups I did back when I did the empath mastermind thing. She has been on the Mod Squad forever, and I know her story, and I'm really proud of her. Bonnie, I'm really proud of you. Let me just throw that out there. She had a really tough time, so I'm very proud of her. That's all. Okay. go ahead.
The go Bonnie.
Yes. Yes.
I know.
Okay. Go Bonnie. It's been a hard road, and yeah, she knows what she's talking about. Okay. Tanya says, for real, no matter what, there is no win. Right. It's not a win. You're not going to win by going no contact. You're just going to get a little freaking peace. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me talk about this. When I went no contact with my parent, I felt, well, I was so angry. The minute that I realized what had happened, I didn't even know what no contact was. Like, I never heard the term no contact before at that time. Let's remember this. So a lot, 2005-ish, yeah, or 2000, I don't know, 2000, no, a little after that, like 2007 or something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Maybe 2000, whenever it was, it's been a while. I initially was very, very like scared, but I didn't care. At the moment that I said it, I was like, and I just didn't care anymore. I knew I was done because I realized in this instant what she had done. And then all of these things that I thought I knew to be true instantly were like gone, because I believed that no matter how much she didn't like me and how much she would judge me, I believed that she would never do anything to hurt my children. And then she proved herself wrong.
Isn't that interesting? She just found the, she found the wrong button for her.
Yep. Wrong button, baby. And so what I, right? So what I did was I just moved on. And I, in the instant that I realized that I picked, as soon as the social worker left my house and closed the case, I picked up my phone. I called her. I said, never call me again. Never speak to me again. This is over. I know what you did. I'm done. And then I was done. I'm not kidding. It was that fast. I shouldn't have even called the person, but I was done. And I don't have anger anymore, but I have a little bit, I almost feel sorry for her now. And it turns out that that incident, which I felt was the worst thing that ever happened to me at that moment, which sounds a little dramatic because there were other things that happened that were harder physically and stuff, but emotionally it was very hard. In that instant, like I, that cord of obligation that you come, I mean, some of us feel toward family members, I had that real deep cord and it was gone, snapped instant. Thankfully.
I think the story is important because any one of these narcissistic parents, narcissistic siblings, people that are on the periphery, or even your partner, if that's it, any one of them has the capacity to do something that can break that bond.
Yes.
At any time.
That's right.
Sometimes they do it and you get lucky, so to speak. I mean, it's terrible that this happens, but then there is a luck of not having the trauma bonds anymore. Boom, gone. Right. Because she broke the one thing that she shouldn't, you know, she did the one thing she shouldn't do. But any of them have the capacity to do that at any time. And you know what I think? I think that that is actually what helped me get out, was he just did one thing too many. And it was, I can't even remember what it was. That's how small it probably was. But it was the one thing you don't do, the one thing you don't say.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
The straw that broke the camel's back. And it was like, oh, I don't need obligation to this person.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And that's on a, you know, romantic level, but on, it can happen with any relationship like that. I had a narcissistic friend do it. She triangulated. I didn't know until years later, I finally figured out that's what was going on with her. Because she was very covert and very like the people pleasy type. Where she like does things for people, but then you owe her.
Right.
Big time. Right. Yeah. And she turned a friend against me and then took the whole group of friends for nothing. Like I couldn't figure out what actually happened.
Jeez.
And that was it. Like I had no more obligation to her when I figured out she was the one that orchestrated it.
Right.
And then my friend came back, my real friend came back and was like, I don't even know what just happened. I think we were trapped by a narcissist. And I said, I think you're right. Like, how did I fall for that? I don't even know what happened. All of a sudden, we all hated you and we don't know why. it was crazy. But that, these people on the, when they're not your main supply, I mean, when you're not the main supply and you are, you don't, it's almost more confusing because you don't know what's happening.
Yep. 100%.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. And it's, yeah. And especially if it's like a, like if it's somebody in your family, you've probably experienced that.
That's different. Yeah. That's right. A little more. Yeah.
Right. But if it's somebody who's like your friend or like when it's, it kind of floors you a little bit, even if you've already been aware of narcissism before, right?
Well, yeah. Cause you don't get the full, you don't get the full view of them.
Right. Right. You
get this little tiny piece of the pie.
Cross-section.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they can show you whatever they want to show you until like they accidentally let you peep under the mask. And you're like, oh!
Yep. And you're like, what? No. That? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I wanted to really quickly acknowledge Jessica Cross joining this family through the member program. Thank you so much, Jessica. Happy to have you. Welcome. Yes. Okay. And we have, okay. Bonnie has a good question. Let's try to tackle this one. What do you do about the triangulation of grown kids? So if you're grown kids, the narcissist is triangulating, like say with your other parents or with another narcissist in your family, how do you handle that? And I'll tell you what I do. And then Lisa, I want to hear what you have to say. What I would do is number one, obviously if your kids choose to go no contact with you, okay. But then what I would do in that case is I would send them 2 cards a year. One at like their birthday and one at like another holiday, Christmas Eve or Hanukkah or whatever you do, you know, whatever your other big thing is. And I would say, I love you. I'm always here when you need me. I know you're not into me right now, but just know that I'll always love you and always here for you. Reach out whenever you want, basically. That kind of a message, you know, like I get that you're not into me, but I want to tell you this. And then as far as the triangulation factor. So if one parent, I'm trying to remember what, so if one parent is like, I know that, let's just say a father is telling the grown kids that their mother's a piece of crap or whatever he's saying about her. Then, you know, I think communication, keeping the lines of communication open, avoiding like retaliating with, well, he's a piece of crap too. Or he's the piece of crap, he's projecting, whatever, and just tell your truth as much as you can. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. I'm saying be open where you can and look your kids in the eyes if you can and speak to them the truth as mm-hmm. as it is, and they should understand. But if they don't, then say, I understand that you don't understand it, and that's okay, I still love you, can we, you know, let's maybe just not talk about what the kids, you know, let's maybe not talk about the subject or whatever. I don't know, Lise, what are your thoughts?
Can you reread the wording?
Yes. What do you do about the triangulation of grown kids being with another, or a narcissist? And I think she's talking about either like a grandparent or a parent triangulating you, trying to get in the kid's head, basically. Triangulation of grown kids.
Triangulation of grown kids. Well,
yes.
Yeah, you have to back off because you've already been, they've already smeared. So right. Some narcissist is already smeared. They've already gotten, or the adult child doesn't want to be in the middle,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to deal with it. So if you come in and you're like, defend, 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 mm-hmm. they're going to be, you know what? I don't want to be involved in this. And you're going to be the one they don't want to talk to.
Exactly.
You know? So don't just, you could say something like, hey, if you want to talk about that, that's cool. We'll talk about it. Otherwise, what are you up to? You know, again, change the subject. I hate all the avoidance I'm telling y'all to do right now, but it's
survival.
It's survival. And it's also, if you engage a lot of people want to clear their name. They want they want their kids to see them, you know, see their side of the story. They want their adult children to understand them and what they've lived through.
Yes.
But you have to remember that depending on the age, the type of person they are, who they're being triangulated with, mm-hmm. we only know a piece of the story. And and they just may not even want to deal with it. Or they don't need to hear your side of the story to know who you are as a person. So just show them who you are as a person and talk about it slowly over time instead of, oh my gosh, that isn't how it happened. You need to know the truth. They aren't. Yeah, a lot of people don't respond well to that.
Right. And Lise, you had mentioned a certain client to me. I think that person had a stepson situation or something, or a stepdaughter situation with a third narcissist, a narcissist parent, maybe mm-hmm. who was triangulating the parent and the step person. Do you remember that one that I was telling you about? It was like maybe a teenager or a preteen or something. You were telling me about it. I didn't mean. But
triangulating a parent and a step parent.
The step parent was triangulating. I'm sorry. The parent, who was the narcissist and had divorced the person. The, you know what I'm talking about? They were triangulating the other person, the other parent, the non narcissist, and his new person. Remember that? Remember?
Yes, I'm just trying to remember exactly what the story was, like which part.
you had dealt with the other parent, or you had helped the other parent, you know, the person that was your client, deal with the other parent in a certain kind of way. You know what I'm talking about?
Maybe.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it later. All right.
I think so, but
I can't say too much because I don't want to like expose anybody's business.
I know. Yeah.
But we'll talk about it. Okay, we'll bring that back next
Sorry,
week.
Sorry, kind of having
no worries.
Had a long weekend.
I understand. It was a situation where, anyway. Okay, we'll talk about it after.
The topic of triangulation, I'll remember. That's my...
Yeah. It was somebody that I think you might have... I can't tell you anymore because on camera because I don't want to spread anybody's business. Okay. Huffle Mom says, I need more practice on the whole shutting your emotions down thing, but I am a master at changing the subject. My trouble is seeing the manipulation. I think she means that she's not seeing it, but or my trouble personally is I see it too much.
Maybe she sees the manipulation and then she reacts because she's
that's what I do. And maybe she's doing it because I think she's pretty intuitive, if I remember correctly. But if it, either way, I mean, I think that the master at changing the subject is a really good thing. As far as shutting down your emotions, don't get too good at that, right? Because I mean, like Lisa was mentioning earlier,
there is
a point at which it becomes unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And I got to that
point. Oh, you get numb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned before, my first go-to thing is I go numb when I'm stressed out. I just go.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Spaced out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's because of being raised that way and then being married to someone like that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yep.
So I can't, sometimes I'll be talking to somebody and they will say something that upsets me and I will just literally, and it has to be a personal thing to me. It's not like a client could do it. You know what I mean? But like, if they're talking to me about something that upsets me or whatever, I will literally not be able to hear them sometimes. I'm sorry, what were you talking about? And it's almost like an accidental gray rock situation, but it's not on purpose and I don't like it. So no. It's something I've worked on, you know, I work on being present and I think that's but my point for saying that is, as Lise mentioned earlier, this is, you know, even though the person who originally coined the term gray rock, I think she says it's not possible to start dissociating because of gray rock. That's wrong. And I respect that person very much, but I personally,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're training. So, well, it's conditioning. If you keep conditioning yourself to disengage, then you're going to feel disengaged and you're going to have your, what is it called? Your neural pathways are going to just immediately do that when you get under stress.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's about, how did she word it? How to emotionally.
I need more practice on the whole shutting down your emotions thing. Okay. I'm a master at changing the subject.
I don't think it's a shutting down of emotions. You are allowed your emotions. You are allowed to feeling. It's not engaging with the drama and not telling your emotions to someone who's going to take them, use them and throw them at you, gaslight you. You're allowed your emotions.
Yeah.
So that's when you have self. So I always say do the gray rock, do the disengaging, but then have self-care.
Right.
Write out your feelings, tell your feelings to a counselor or a coach or whatever.
Yeah.
Scream them into your pillow, whatever you need to do, get them out.
Yes. And that was the thing that I did wrong.
Right. Me too.
In all of my recovery. It's exactly what I did wrong because I couldn't handle it, but I didn't understand. I was doing gray rock accidentally. I didn't know what gray rock was at that time. I was literally dissociating on purpose because I couldn't stand it. It was painful to me after a while to be just my ex would just go on and on and on and on and on. And my mother, the same thing. It was like somebody mentioned a dog with a bone. Only I was the freaking bone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it really messed with me. And I that's just how I used to say I was going to my happy place. And I would literally just stare into space and just think of anything else, anything. And so that wasn't gray rock. That was dissociation. But, you know, so that's why whenever I talk about gray rock, like separately from live streams, I always say, you know, cry if you need to, just don't do it in front of them. Like feel your emotions, let them happen.
Don't give them, just don't give it to them.
Yeah.
They don't deserve your good stuff. They don't deserve your emotional.
No.
They don't deserve your emotional life. They're going to use it. And and if you can name the behaviors that you see in your own head, it does help.
It does. That's right. That helps me a lot too. Like for example, when you say, you know, I see this person is gaslighting me. And if you can label it, it takes the sting out. It took the sting out for me.
Oh yeah.
It helped me to see that it was part of their personality disorder or whatever issue they have. I'm not diagnosing anyone, whatever issue they have, part of that. And it's not about me really. Even if they're saying you're a stupid, ugly person to me or whatever, that I'm saying that because that's a mean thing to say to somebody, then I have to think, am I really stupid or ugly? Okay. I might be a little ugly, but I'm not stupid. You know what I mean? So there's like this, and I'm joking. I don't really think I'm stupid or anything. Don't give me that look. but I was playing around about that, but I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. It's, if you can, if a person can, like you said, name it, label it, and then see it. Like for me, I think, oh, okay, we've gotten to the point in the conversation where they are now gaslighting.
Yep.
This conversation is over. This is what's going on in my head. So I'm occupying my time thinking these words. And yes. All I see is Charlie Brown teacher. And that was my super skill as a kid when I would get the monologuing. I couldn't hear them.
I would
like it was literally like Charlie Brown. So I always thought,
And I get it.
Yeah. So if you can occupy your own mind with observing, deciding in that moment you're not going to engage because you don't engage in gaslighting. You don't tell them, you don't say, hey, you're gaslighting me now. That won't do any good.
No, it'll do harm. So come and Google it and it's bad. Yeah.
So it's all for you in the inside. And then,
go ahead.
Oh, no, then just process your actual feelings later. Outside. Mm-hmm.
Journaling is really good. At least I think you guys talk about processing feelings sometimes in your group coaching, don't you?
We talk about what?
Do you help people in group coaching sometimes with processing feelings?
Oh yeah, all the time. Yeah, processing this is the kind of thing. Getting the validation, and that is one great thing about group is people will often say, oh my gosh, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then everyone will go, oh my gosh, I understand that. I've been there. And that validation that you get from speaking it out loud, but then we stop, and then because at a certain point it becomes you're feeding the wrong garden, so to speak. And
yes.
So you gotta come back to self-care. So we work on.
Absolutely.
Let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole thing about processing emotions. It's not about like, you don't want to live in the process. Process it right on through. Right.
Till you can, maybe you can't let it go, but you can at least see something else at the same time.
Right. And it's helpful to know, for me, it was always helpful to understand, okay, like we were talking about the labeling, for example, label the behaviors. Well, the reason for me that it worked, in addition to what Lee said, where it kind of distracted me from the conversation as I learned more, you know, as I went forward, I also found it helpful because I could, like, I think it engages a different part of your brain or something.
Yes, it does.
Right. And so it kind of shifts you in a different way. It's a good thing. Try that. Try it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. We have Bonnie. Do we want to talk about the Petito situation at all?
No.
Okay. Bonnie, we love you. We're just not going to talk about that. I want to tell you why really quickly. I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to try to profit from that situation. I've seen so many creators putting videos out about this, and I will not do that because that's a whole person who died, and that's all I'm going to say. Move on. Mm-hmm. Okay. okay. So let's see. Wendy says, Lise, did your... Well, she asked, actually, I guess both of us, I only saw my name, but I saw, okay. She said to both of us, did your narcissistic friendship only stop because you made the decision to leave? I am discarded and hovered back once by this friend, but now I'm on almost 5 months, no contact. In my case, it stopped mostly because I refused to be held back by that person. She wanted to isolate me from this other group of friends. And I didn't see any reason, and they didn't see any reason that we couldn't all be together. And she was like, no. And they were like, come on, girl, it's fine. And I was like, okay, bye. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that easy. It was really hard. But that was kind of how it went for me. How about you, please?
I would say, yes, it was me, because the initial discard was the first thing of like turning everybody, and then her like gathering her little, you know, monkeys around her. Mm-hmm. And then when that fell off about a year later, there was a Hoover and then another Hoover and then another Hoover. And then I saw her at a party, and all three times I just gray rocked, and I wasn't mean or like, you know, I just was like, oh, hey, I didn't say what's up or anything. I think two were on the phone and I was like, oh, hey, did you need something? Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, all right, well, take care. Bye. And then I just, you know, that was it. And then at the party, she followed me around a bit, got bored because I was boring her. And then she walked out. So yes, that was very intentional to not, because it would have been really easy to be like, oh, that was just a misunderstanding. I really like my girlfriendships. I really wish you, you know, I bet it was something I did. It would have been really easy, but no, that was just weird, cunning, you know.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. Let's see. Oh, okay. We got Nathan already. Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, Wendy said thank you. Oh, wait a minute. Let's talk to this. She said she's on 5 months no contact. So I just want to say congratulations and stay strong. Okay. All right. Let's see here. So we have Mystique. Hey, Mystique. She told me she will. Oh, wait a minute. I need to see the rest of Mystique's comment. Mystique. I don't see her. Okay. Oh, hi, everyone. Mystique said. Oh, She Wolf says narcissists need topics. I'm trying to see what Mystique said. She told me she will not get the shot because Nana said she will die. I guess she's talking about her narcissist. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to stay away from any political stuff, you guys. I just don't want to do politics, and that's a politic thing right now. So forgive me. I don't want to talk about that.
Unfortunately, but yeah, I know.
Yeah, right now it's just too ugly. So, okay, but I understand you. I'm just going to, nothing else. Okay. Okay. Oh, Wendy says, Lise and Angie, I just want to know what I could expect from this friend. This is the longest period of no contact, but I made the decision this time basically to go no contact. So I would say this, and then I'll ask Lise for her advice as well. I would say it's highly likely that she might try to come back into your life and re-hoover you. They are what, you know, you were a good source of supply for a while, right? Even if you weren't the main source, so you were doing something that she liked, and she will want more of that at some point when somebody else disappoints her, or leaves her, or whatever is happening with her, right? So when she wants something that you could have previously provided, you can fully expect her, I think, and it could be a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, she'll come back at some point. Just be prepared if she does and know exactly how to handle it, which I would say is either completely ignore her, block her, or, you know, at least mention Grey Rock. At least, what would you offer?
Yeah, that's many? What I would say. I think that's right. There is a chance she will, you know, do the quick snub and smear and walk away, and have her ego so bent. And it depends on, actually, I think it depends how social she is. If she is a person that can easily gather friends around her, it may be less likely that she'll come, you know, but always expect a narcissist could hoover.
Right.
Like we never can say they're gone forever, unfortunately, because they recycle. It's a lot easier for them to recycle old supply than it is to find new and have to do all the grooming and love bombing. They don't have to do much.
Right.
All they have to do is reappear with a little bit of a good attitude. And we fall for it often.
Absolutely. Queen of Your World says, you ready? This is a good one. Interesting one. She says, honor your mother so you can live on this earth a long time. Make a plan how to handle her. Don't let her walk all over you. And I'm just going to say this. Do what you want to do. That's all. Because, you know, when you go through a situation like this, when you have your mother call CPS on you, for example, and try to take away your children, then come back and tell me that same thing. I'm going to say nothing else. Please stop.
To honor someone is to treat someone the way they are presenting in the world and accepting who they are. If someone is toxic to you, you can honor that behavior by doing exactly what it is. Does that make sense? If someone is going to gaslight, if they're going to call CPS on you, what you're honoring is that's who they are. I'm not going to pretend you're not that anymore. Right. And I honor you as being that. Go ahead and be that. Just don't be that around me. Bye.
Be that over there.
Be that far, far away from me. Yeah. Right. I've heard of narcissistic and borderline moms who are so controlling. And, you know, when I say controlling, that's a word we can throw around really easy, but I'm talking down to who the person dates, down to, this is 30-year-old people, down to who they date, down to what they wear, down to their career, their every move they make. And because of the feeling of needing to, of loyalty, it's so hard to see that controlling is not normal.
Yeah, it used to make me physically sick.
It's sick. Like, it does. It makes a lot. And that people that I'm thinking of actually have a lot of physical illnesses because of it.
Yeah. My children all have two middle names because of that person. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was bad.
Controlling is it's every yeah. piece of your life. Yeah. So,
and I believe that we have a right and a responsibility to be as happy as we can stand to be in our lives. Okay.
And we have to accept people as they are.
Yes.
That is.
And that doesn't mean we have to let them be in our circle.
Exactly. Our inner circle, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So yeah.
While I fully respect your comment and your statement, I absolutely 100% am not on the same page. No disrespect. No. Well, except for what Lisa.
But yeah. if someone really feels that is what they need to do, then
do it. Right.
Do it, and please set some boundaries for yourself and protect yourself. Yes. And
which is fair. And yeah. I respect that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 'cause there's different degrees like of what is out there. Right.
Absolutely. And I never tell a client you need to go no contact with that person ever.
Yeah.
Because it's their choice, not mine. But my choice is what it is. And I hope that you're not judging me for my choice based on that. And if you are, that's okay. Do whatever. Okay.
Well, also, I want people to understand that when they come to us and they talk to us, I mean, this is how I work, and I'm fairly certain this is how you work. We don't judge you for where you're at.
Oh no.
If you can or can't leave, do or don't go, no contact. We just give you what we know. And right. Yeah.
And again, it's not like we just say what we know, and we support you.
Right.
Where your choices. Right.
In your choices, and try and find the best, most.
The best solutions for you.
Right. The safest way for you to function.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because what it comes down to is, look, there. If you had asked me to go no contact with my mother before she did the thing, I would have said, I wish I could, but I just can't.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
She did the thing, and then I didn't care anymore. I was like, bye.
Exactly. It was enough's enough.
Right.
You saw her right there in that moment, the exact truth of who she is.
Yes. And I always, listen, she had me fooled for 35 years. Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. I knew she was mean. I knew she didn't like me. I knew all these things, but she most certainly did not in any way, shape, or form ever indicate to me that she was like, family sticks together, family this, family that. You know, if you don't hurry up in a blah blah family, then yeah. Okay. Hold on a minute. Mystique has more context about alienation from her 16-year-old son. Thank you, Jack. Questions about gray rock boundaries. Please re-scroll. I'm gonna try. Hold on. Thank you, Jack, for the super chat and for the comment. Let me control F. Hold on, I'm gonna find her. Misty. Yeah, sometimes I can't find him, but
it's hard. Yeah, sometimes if they repaste it, it helps.
Yeah, okay. Wait, Misty. Okay. Oh, she told me she will not get that. See, the first thing I see from her is from Mystique is, hold on, live chat. Let me try this. Probably gonna lose my place now. Hold on. Okay, we have. I think your son is old enough. Okay, see what happens when I do this is now I lose my place. But what Jack says, wait, oh, maybe I can. Hold on. Nope. It's not doing it. Wait, here it goes. Oh, here it goes. I got it. Okay, I think I got it. Is Gray Rock the only way to deal with a child who has been alienated? He lays into me every time and is 16.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me see if there's anything.
It's a little different than Gray Rock with a child, though.
Right. But a 16-year-old, you know, they're like my middle son just turned 18 and he's been taller than me since he was, and I'm not saying it's about being tall, but they're sometimes mature. I don't know. Let me find the story. Okay. What were you saying? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I think I just took over there. We're still trying to parent at 16. Mm-hmm. And so Gray Rock is a little dismissive when it comes to dealing with them all the time, but dealing with their tantruming behavior and their anything that you feel is beyond your boundaries of how you'll be treated by someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great tool for any teenager, honestly, if they're going to get the mouth flowing. And then at the same time, being present as a loving source of a parent, balancing it. So I don't know the story, but
I just figured out what happened. I think. All right. Is Gray Rock the only way to deal with a child who has been alienated? He lays into me every time he sees me.
Okay.
And he is 16 and he won't make himself. I'm guessing the child doesn't live full time with Mystique. When Mystique has this, or either way, when they are seeing each other, he is bitching her out. Pardon my language.
No, that's awful.
That is unacceptable. Yeah. That's a 16-year-old.
Oh yeah. One that they had. Yeah, that's
yeah. So look, what I would do if it was my son, even right now at 18, he still lives in my house and I still pay his damn bills. Sorry. I'm getting a little sassy today. I'm sorry. I would take things away. I would take away the phone, number one. Right away. If I'm paying for the phone. If I'm not paying for the phone, I would say you can't use the phone at my house. I'll take the phone when you walk in the door. I'm not kidding. Or I would not tolerate it. I would be right. You don't tolerate that. Because what is happening when he thinks he gets to talk to you like that? No. I mean, I let my kids say whatever they want to say to me within reason, but they must speak to me respectfully.
Yeah.
They are not allowed. They can cuss to me, but not at me. You know, they're both teenagers now, you know, my youngest. So, I mean, yeah. Lise, do you have thoughts about this?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's, what are the words I've used? is this really the person you want to be?
Yeah.
I don't have people treat me the way you're treating me. I do not treat you the way you're treating me.
Right. I don't tolerate that.
And I am not going to have this conversation right now.
Yeah. You do a different kind of a gray rock with a teenager. It's more like a black spiky rock or a brown spiky rock or a white spot. I don't care what color the rock is. It's spiky. And what the point is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You gotta put them in their place. You have to. Up to with respect. I mean, I'm not saying beat the kid.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you wouldn't be doing anything if you didn't love them. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
But you have, you know, like my parent, their way of, you know, grounded for 3 months, beating and all this other crap. I don't do that stuff. I respect my kids. I speak to them respectfully. But I also don't. Thank God, I don't have another parent try or well, maybe one has tried once, but I don't have anybody trying to triangulate them directly. So that helps a lot.
That makes
sense. I have had them be mad at me and have attitude with me and everything else. And nope, we don't do, I don't scream or yell mostly. I've had to raise my voice a few times, but mostly it's just for me, it's about, like Lisa said, setting boundaries. And I will take that phone and the computer and all the things that connect you to the outside world. I don't care. Right. I don't care. You know, you could just stay with me the whole day. I don't care. Here's a chair.
Just sit there and be angry. Just don't yell. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, just be straight up. And maybe, you know, I think some of us, sometimes we feel like, oh my gosh, but the other parent is so bad. I have to be the nice one. I've been there. But you know what? When the nice one says, you will not treat me that way, that kind of sometimes is hurt a little harder than if the other one says, you know what I'm saying?
Something. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the case of triangulation with the other parent, where the other parent is like, your mom's this, blah, 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 blah. And I think this has to do something with the vaccine. I will talk about it from the perspective of, I don't care which side the person's on, but whatever it is, whatever the issue is that's being used to triangulate you, you know, if you have facts that you want to share with that kid about vaccination or whatever the thing is, by all means. But ultimately, you're the parent and that's it, right?
Right, I mean, if they're triangulating with a politics,
right.
Which this is a political, what you're talking about there is both a health and political concern, because that's what we've made it in this country. Mm-hmm. I can't go there myself, but I'm watching it all around and it's what it is. And people use it for both, for one or the other, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And narcissists in particular are going to have their opinions all that matter. So, mm-hmm. And they're going to use it because if they know you want one thing, they're going to say the opposite just to make the child have to choose sides and make it an issue.
Right.
So yeah, it's, you just give the facts, you give the child, that's an old enough child to make an informed decision. It's not an old enough child to make, I don't know. We give too much power over in that regard to me, but
yes,
but it is old enough to understand, to be learning about the health of whatever of the people around them, of themselves, of what this,
yes,
it's
yes,
enough to give to, for them to start making choices and to be participate in it. So you give them your side,
right?
With
right.
With facts, mm-hmm. with something to back it up.
Yeah.
And then leave it for them to read. And if they read it, they read it. And if they don't, they don't.
Yep. Yep. Let me talk about a few more comments really quick, and then we're going to wrap up. But really quick, I just want to share three comments I just found in the chat here. Number one, Casca says, yeah, that was the breaking point for me that caused me to go on leave. Someone was just shoving positivity down my throat And I snapped. My managers called me selfish. I'm going to tell you something. There is such a thing as toxic positivity.
Oh, heck yeah. It's passive.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I personally, I screwed my whole recovery up with it because I found out about the law of attraction. And I thought, holy shit, I don't have to think about this stuff anymore. Woo, it's gone. Happy. No, it wasn't gone. Right? Uh-huh. So of course, those issues crept up later because I just stopped focusing and feeling them. And I started wanting to be positive and happy and wanted only what I wanted. And so I was like, I focus on that. You got to process. Like Lisa was talking about earlier, you have to work through the emotions. And again, if you're having trouble with that, you know, get some coaching, go to a therapist, grab one of Lisa's group coaching deals because it's good stuff. Okay. Yeah, please tell them how to get to group coaching again.
Well, there should be a link in the description of the video. You can go over to Queen Being and type in queenbeing.com group coaching in Google.
Or just group even, groups, right?
I don't know if it's groups. I think groups brings all the groups. Like,
okay, go ahead.
Like the span and all of
that.
I think you put group coaching and it comes up. But it should be in the description of the videos here or over on my channel. It's on all of my descriptions. So,
So make sure you check it out and I will add it here if it's not already there. But
or email us and we'll get you.
Just reach out. Jack knows how to get in touch with us as well. So you can also check with him and Hufflemom. Okay. Is Grey Rock the only way? Okay, we did that one. Okay. Oh, this other comment from Crystal, I think is really good. Crystal Mound. Hello, Crystal.
Hi, Crystal. She says
it's possible to love and respect the family's narcissist, but that does not mean we have to engage with them. I keep them at a distance and that is the only way I can love them. That is beautiful. And I love that. And that is how I am with other people. Even I don't hate my mother. Let me clarify something. I don't hate her. She is what she is. I actually have gone almost, I would say indifferent. And that's how I survive. That's how I survive. Because I do new traditions with my own family. I'm the mother now.
Yep.
Okay. For me. But everybody's different. And you have to do what feels right for you. Don't misunderstand. Exactly. I will never tell anybody. You have to do that. Sometimes you can't do it for whatever reason. You know what I mean? I get it. But and when you then you cope this way that we're talking. You know,
right.
Crystal, thank you so much for that comment. And one from Hufflemom that I also love. She says, seriously, I am grateful to my mother-in-law for giving, who is one of their nurses, for giving birth to my husband, but I'm not about to let her take charge of my family. We are free agents and I will always fight her to keep that. Yes, girl. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is beautiful, right? That's powerful. And I really like the way she says, I'm grateful for that she gave me my husband. I mean, I got super lucky in the mother-in-law department. I'm going to be really honest. I got really lucky in that department. My husband's mother who has passed now, she was basically like my mother too. She was the thing that probably saved me on so many levels because she made me understand at least a little bit what it felt like to be loved unconditionally. Did not know. So I'm going to stop because of my brother. Hold on. Okay. Okay. But that's a really good comment. Okay. Lisa, do you have any final words of wisdom for us today?
Now you got me sad.
I know. I'm glad you're thinking about things. Okay.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you had that in your life.
I did.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are people out there. If you have toxic parent, toxic family, there are people out there that can touch your life that aren't family. They can give you what it was you should have always had.
Yeah.
Like that's an example of it, right?
Yeah. I had a Girl Scout leader in high school, saved my life. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, this is, I had someone yesterday thank me, thank you so much for all you do. Thank you. You've saved my life. You did, all the wonderful, lovely things people say to me. And I said, girl, do you know how much your presence in group does for everybody else in group? I'm like,
I bet I know who you're talking about.
Don't make me cry because, because you're so supportive, so beautiful, so like there and so honest about the stuff you're going through. That everyone gets validation and you are now the thing that they need.
Yeah. And,
like, it's awesome, right?
It is. Yeah. I love paying it forward. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And family isn't always blood, y'all. Don't forget. It's not always blood.
Right.
You know? So that's why we have our spanily. Make sure you check that out too. All right. Hufflemom, do your thing. About to wrap up. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. Jack, Bonnie, Hufflemom from our mod squad. We love you. We're grateful for you every single time. Thank you for everything. Lise, we will see you next week.
Yes. Thank you.
And well, I'll see you before that, but you know what I'm talking about. Bye, everybody.
From me.
Have a wonderful week. See you soon.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye, Lise.